This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
And we welcome our newest commercial partner to the Accounting Influencers Podcast. It's Practice Ignition. You like these guys, Martin, don't you? What do you like about them?
I like what accounting firms tell me, Robert. And one of the things that I ask accounting firms is, why add this to your app stack? Another thing to use, another piece of technology. So why? And they say, because when it comes to winning new work, they can send a proposal immediately after a meeting with a prospect, and it includes their terms and conditions, their sales brochure, place to enter payment, info and sign. It just shortens their sales cycle.
Well, I like the onboarding thing. There's no more chasing payments, because they get the clients to put in the payment details, they digitally sign it, they get it billed automatically, and it's on the schedule of the accounting practitioners. That just makes so much sense.
Yet no more double or triple checking that invoice has been paid in the accounting software. It's done automatically. And when you send a proposal or you get paid, PI crunches the numbers and spits out just about every metric you could ask for. So there's no more spreadsheets or wondering how you're doing.
Yeah, it's the best in class for what they do. And if people want to go to practiceignition.com, use this special code AIR21, A-I-R-21. You'll get 25% off all plans for your first 6 months. So just go to the website and get your 14-day trial and you're up and running. Welcome to our special guest interview this week. And we've got the legend that is Steve Cox with us. Steve, good day to you.
Good day, Rob.
Steve, you've been in this accounting, fintech, software world for a long time, and it's not often people have a shelf life like yours. So what's the secret to your longevity, would you say?
It's interesting because I've been with Iris for 19-odd years, been in the industry for about 20, and I get asked a lot, how come you've stayed with one thing? And it's not from a case of just letting the days go past. Every day is different. And my role has changed every couple of years within Iris, and along with the market, right? Along with the accounting profession, it's constantly evolving. So it's quite unique in our profession to be able to do this. But actually, it feels like I've changed my job every kind of couple of years. So it keeps it fresh, keeps it interesting.
Yes. And you have been the chief evangelist at Iris. Now you're the head of accountancy for commercial. Just tell us real quickly what your day-to-day job involves.
Yeah, certainly. So it's quite an interesting one, because not only do I get to talk internally within Iris and help to kind of lead the strategy and kind of inform what's going on from not just from a technology point of view, but also from the ear of our customers, exactly the pain points and the problems that they're facing, and working with governing bodies. But also I really get a kind of a feel for being out there talking to people as well, doing the events as well for it. So when people say, well, what do you do, Steve? I bridge the gap between accountants and Iris and make sure that their voice is heard, and ultimately that what we're doing at Iris fits exactly what they need.
Got it. And there have been some major changes that the pandemic has brought about within accounting firms, haven't there?
Yeah, it's been an interesting one, because you look at any industry and there have been a lot of changes, right? But personal and professional, coronavirus has affected us all. But in accountancy, it's been quite a fundamental change. And if you said, what's the one big thing that's happened from it all, it would be digitization. And we've been talking to accountants for years around how actually this digitization of processes, automation, and this move to cloud is kind of the trajectory we can see everybody being on. But what we've seen from the impact of the last 12 to 18 months is that that's kind of accelerated fourfold. And we did a bit of research around this pre-pandemic and now post-pandemic. And it's been interesting to look at the pain points and the challenges that people have had. And when we looked at it pre-pandemic, we said to people, what are the big kind of challenges that you face? And people will tell you everything through to kind of their personal ones as well as their professional ones. But it kind of came down to three main areas. And the first of those was the sheer volume and complexity of regulatory change. So as accountants, we're used to compliance constantly changing, new rules, but also around kind of the changing of those rules as in a normal annual basis. But that's continuing to grow in the volume of we're seeing them. So new rules constantly coming out outside of the annual scope, but also its complexity. The other area is all around talent and resources, and people are struggling to find good accountants to come work within their practice, but also are struggling to keep a hold of the really good staff that they have, because it's great finding new talent, but retaining the existing staff is just as hard. And then the third area of challenge that people have been telling us around was around service delivery. as around how do you continue to give high levels of service at a growing volume, but also to meet the changing demands, not only of the legislation for the way that you do that service, but also the changing demands that are coming from clients. And it's those three areas are kind of the big things that kind of been keeping accountants awake at night. But that change that we've seen, this fourfold increase in digitization, has driven firms from being kind of more analog basis to being much more digitized, and ultimately some becoming a truly digital firm, to where pre-pandemic, maybe I'd say 75% based upon our research, people were more kind of analog, more manual process, paper-based. So whereas now that's shrunk to 25%. And in fact, now 70% of the accountancy profession has been digitized, with maybe 5% of the profession now being a truly digital firm where everything's all in the cloud, clients included in that, and data. But what that's done is that's added some additional challenges to people. So we've had the three original challenges being compounded by three new ones, which no one saw coming. One of which is kind of this hybrid culture. We've got people now that are some working in an office, some working from home. And to try and build a culture that's inclusive of non-geographical location and individual circumstances, because some of us are about to change our working day patterns because actually we're working from home, there's personal stuff, and taking kids to school, after school clubs. I've got that with my three little ones. But you used to have an environment where you'd have people in the office going for after work drinks on a Friday, maybe book clubs, cinema clubs. That's really difficult to do in a virtual environment. And we all get a little bit of Zoom fatigue these days from spending all of our lives on camera. So how do you build that inclusive environment? It's really difficult. At the same time, there's a huge amount of pressure being put on firms from kind of a changing competitive landscape. And we're seeing the rise of a new type of firm, and in fact, also in volumes. In fact, we did some research on this recently from the company Sounds Public Record. And believe it or not, in March of 2021, there were 636 brand new accountancy firms incorporated in that 1 month alone.
Wow.
And it's phenomenal that when you look at that, that was a record, by the way. There were never seen any that grow or be incorporated that quickly in any month prior. And over the last 12 months, there's been nearly 6,000 new accountancy firms in the UK incorporated as well. So suddenly there's a huge amount of volume coming into this market. And a lot of those new ones are starting up completely digital. So therefore they're coming at it from a different point of view. They've not got the history, they've not got the legacy. They're able to go and set up overnight using SaaS solutions in the cloud and create a website. And suddenly they are marketing much bigger than they would be if they were a high street firm. Mm. But also on that, not only have we seen the accountancy profession kind of change in its landscape, their clients are also starting to change as well. And it's this evolving level of demands that are coming from them. And we've talked a couple of times about this, around how accountants have been that trusted business advisor for a number of years and the provider of compliance solutions, but also the ones that can help them with the advisory. Well, it's now starting to go beyond that. Clients in the last 18 months have been coming to accountants going, I really need your help. Corona's really impacted the way that we work. How do I pivot my business? How do I go and transform what I'm doing? How do I go into a different sector or industry? Because actually, I can't do this anymore. So some of those questions have been ones that accountants have been proactively pushing to people to say, look, why don't we go and do this? Now they're having to be more reactive to the demands that are coming from people. But they're also suddenly evolving what they're providing for clients. And in some instances, we've found that accountants have become the agony aunt for their clients. It's not just been a case of providing kind of financial and business advice. Actually, it's been that shoulder to cry on, and ultimately helping them with areas that maybe accountants haven't been professionally trained for, such as recruitment. We've heard from some customers how clients are phoning up saying, I need new staff, I've lost some people, whether that be because of coronavirus or because they've changed roles. How do I go and do that? So that suddenly accountants are being the answer to everything, and ultimately they're having to kind of very quickly upskill what they need to do. So it's been a real challenge, but huge opportunities for accountants. Mm.
So many interesting points there, Steve. You speak to accountants all the time, big and small. If you were an accountant right now, would you prefer to be in a big mid-tier firm, or would you prefer to be in a small firm? Who do you see as benefiting the most from what's going on?
it's really interesting one, because you could kind of look at it and go, right, a big firm has probably got the resources to be able to cope with changes in demand and also the changing circumstances of the profession.
Right.
So stability would say a big firm would make sense. But then smaller firms are able to pivot much quicker and ultimately are able to kind of go into new areas and try new things a lot quicker for that. And some of it is a case that for either a large or a kind of a small firm, the fundamentals are still the same. They need to basically create as much time as possible to go and do new things or to go and do more of what they've been doing previously. So becoming as productive and automating as many things as possible allows them to free up time. I mean, crikey, there's only 24 hours in a day, right? We can't magic up a few more hours. Therefore, you've got to make the most of what you've got. So for small firms, it can be a lot easier to kind of go and do that. But you don't know where to go and do that. You don't have the kind of the knowledge internally to be able to go and do that. And that's why it's important to go and speak with peers, fellow accountants in the industry, to accountancy bodies, to vendors, to go and see how can they be more productive, to go and start to do different things, to diversify the services they're providing. And for the larger firms, they should always be looking at how can we get marginal gains? How can we be improving on what we're doing? Because ultimately they'll be looking at the bottom line to say, how can we improve that?
Yeah. You've got some interesting stats on how many accounting firms have been formed, but do we fear for the small firms, Steve, are we losing a lot of accounting firms out of the funnel, if you like?
It definitely. And it's always a worry, right? As an accountant myself, you never want to see kind of a firm go under, but looking at some of the data we have from the Accountancy Council public record, it's been really interesting to see that in the last 6 months, there's been about 3,500 firms that have ultimately folded. And that's a worrying statistic because that's a high number, just looking at 2 points in time, let alone expand that over a full year and the number goes up. And it does go to show that whilst there's a birth of new firms in the UK, it also shows that there's those that have really struggled. And it could be a case that where we talked about those analog firms going from kind of 70% of them being analog into those that are now 25, some of those is because they've moved and digitized what they've done. But it's also some of those have actually had to fold and have had to go under, which is horrible to think of. But actually, it might be a case that they folded under one and set up under another. And maybe they're now looking for a new opportunity for it.
Yeah. That's the point, isn't it? And I've read somewhere that there are more accountants leaving the profession, getting out, than there are coming in right now. We know it's an aging profession to a degree, so maybe a lot of those firms are selling up. Steve, do you have any intel on whether this is a UK thing or this is happening internationally? Because Iris has a global footprint, doesn't it?
Yeah, indeed. And whilst the statistics I've said are kind of UK specific, actually the pattern is very similar over internationally. So take a look over in the US and North America. There was a boom over there in the number of firms as well. And actually, they're kind of more state specific for what's happening because obviously a much wider kind of profession over there where there is a boom in this. And I think one of the reasons why this is being seen as a boom is that the accountancy profession is one of those that often enough has been described as being recession proof. You still always have to do your taxes, right? And they said there's only two things certain in life, death and taxes, right? And accountants deal with the taxes. So it's often been seen as a recession-proof industry and profession. Now, I think what we've seen on the back of the impact of coronavirus is that, in some regards, the accountancy profession has become pandemic-proof. Yes, there have been some that have had to fold, and maybe they weren't prepared for this or hadn't actually had the reserves ready. And hadn't, I mean, no one would have planned for this. We never saw it coming. But those that were able to pivot quickly have actually thrived off the back of this. And we're seeing more and more people go, that looks like a really interesting profession to get into. I want to go and join it. And so we are starting to see more people coming into the profession and setting up. And what we're also seeing is people who have predominantly worked for larger firms suddenly go, actually, I want to go and do this myself. I'm going to go set up. And this entrepreneurial mindset seems to be growing within our profession, with people leaving their established firm behind and going and setting up on their own to go and do their own thing and do that more digitally as well.
Yeah, we had an interesting interview with a lovely chap called Corey Talone, who left a big firm in the US to go to a smaller firm where he had more influence, more voice, more autonomy, more choice, if you like, more freedom, better quality of life. All those things are really important to him.
Yeah, indeed. And that work-life balance has got to be important for people. I mean, another thing that's kind of proven from the impact of coronavirus is we don't have to commute anymore. Right? All of us have been working from home. Now, it's your own personal decision as to that maybe hour, 2 hour commute time. Do you use that to get more stuff done? Do you do more work? Or do you actually use that for more personal things? Do you take the kids on the school run? Do you potentially use that time to go for a run? Do you do things that will actually benefit you and your well-being? And it's suddenly become this kind of this work-life balance, and people's well-being has become incredibly important over the last kind of 18 months, more ever so than before. Don't get me wrong, it was a focus within the profession.
Yeah.
I think it's come to light now in the last 18 months.
And Steve, you and Iris have done a lot of work on the future of business and the future of the accounting profession. Are we in any position right now to map out what the accounting firm of the next 5 years might look like?
It's fascinating to look at. And this is kind of like the area that I absolutely love doing. Don't get me wrong. There is no crystal ball, right?
No.
I'm not going to go and predict the future. Don't put any bets on what I say.
No.
But what we can see is that the trends from the past are helping us to kind of see where the future is going to go. But also, it's a case of looking at what we're seeing in other industries that are leading indicators as well. So we'll always look at this from kind of the trends of what's happening. We've talked a lot about the pain points already. I don't see those changing in the next 5 years. They will continue. They'll just kind of change in their levels as to which is a focus. But everything that we look at for the next 5 years is all being underpinned by technology changes. And that's transforming the way that people are working, the way that they interact with people as well. And there are three kind of big technology changes that seem to be kind of influencing the profession at the moment. The first of those is machine learning. So algorithms doing predictive analytics to ultimately say, we predict that this firm is going to have a cash balance, but a positive cash balance in the next 18 months. It's a prediction piece to be able to say, this is where we see it going. But it won't take action on the back of that. That is just to provide insight to accountants to then say, right, let me talk to you, Mr. Client, about what's happening. But it's also around helping kind of that front end of the client relationship. So chatbots are a great example of utilizing machine learning to help with the customer interaction. So to answer simple questions, someone might type a question in, and ultimately the predictive analytics and machine learning behind it will say, they're asking around the following, here's your answer. Mm-hmm. But that it starts to evolve then into artificial intelligence. And there's a real fear in the profession that artificial intelligence is going to replace accountants. It's not. It definitely is not. All of these technologies are going to augment what the accountants do. It's just going to free up more of their time. So if you take the concept of what we just talked about, machine learning, that will evolve into artificial intelligence, where in its simplest terms, the fundamental difference is AI will take what you've seen from machine learning and actually take action on the back of it and automate what's going. So if you think that machine learning, if you run all the tax rules, all the accounting rules, the tax cases, all of the big data from that, put it through machine learning and then put AI over the top, you can imagine a world in the next 5 years where compliance is then automated. Suddenly, it will automatically, based upon the data, all of those rules, say, this is the best tax scenario for your client, and this is how we're going to go and process it. And this is the amount of tax that they are, rebate they're due. Suddenly, accountants don't have to do all the calculations. They can just go and review it and talk to their clients around it. But then that leads us on to the third part, which is blockchain. And whilst blockchain is fundamentally driving digital currencies today, it's not really being seen elsewhere. There are some proof of concepts going on, but in the accounting world, suddenly, if all of the chains of data are all linked together in a secure environment and they're automated so that as one action happens, it has a knock-through event for everything else, suddenly you can see a world where data is moving freely between solutions in an integrated way, and ultimately, a transaction that's been created by a client is not only informing inventory, stock levels, ordering new stock, but also informing the bank of the transaction, putting money aside for the VAT bill, informing the accountant around what's going on for the sales, and ultimately telling everybody that's a part of that ecosystem what's happening. Suddenly, it's you're updating people in real time because it's the data's at their fingertips, and the accountants will have to transform the way that they work with clients to do that. So the future is really bright, but it will change based on the technology that's underpinning it all.
That's fascinating, Steve. And I'm mindful of the quote by Bill Gates that said, the future belongs to the geeks. And when you talked earlier about the changing competitive landscape, yeah, we know that there are more accounting firms coming in. There's a lot of consolidation and movement fluidity in the space. There's also a certain amount of complacency with some accountants, with them having this elegant monthly recurring fee model. But you've got some thoughts, haven't you, on the other competitor to accountants coming from the vendors themselves. And there's a big play by Jeff Bezos, who's backed Pilot, basically with a very simple automated accounting service, which does away with the accountants. So talk to us a bit more about that.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more of this, right? And it's one of those areas that I think has always been a fear for accountants, is replacement by technology. But actually, they're now starting to see a fear growing of replacement by vendors, rather than just the technology where clients would use it themselves. Mm. Suddenly, they're starting to see the likes of Ember, as an example, coming up and coming out and saying, actually, now is the time to ditch your bookkeeper and accountant and use this solution to provide all your compliance for you.
That's quite blatant, isn't it?
It is very blatant. And obviously, it's the marketing is designed to stir an emotional response for that. And what I think Ember may have underestimated is the emotional response that's coming from the accountancy professional themselves. Because, yes, certain things can be automated. And Iris, obviously, we're kings of automation, but we put that into the hands of the accountant. Never will we go and kind of go down that route and say, well, we'll do it for the client and cut the accountant out of the equation. We're there as the supporter of accountants. Quite, I'm an accountant myself, right? I'd be doing myself out of a job. But at the same time, we're seeing this new breed of competition from vendors where they're going directly for their accountants' clients. And yes, some things can be automated, like we've talked about. But what is fundamental around the accountant and client is the relationship. You buy and you work with people, and it's a people-to-people world that we live in. You build trust with a person, not with a machine. And ultimately, could you cry on the shoulder of a piece of software when things are going bad? No. Could you go to a piece of software and say, help me with the recruitment? Or what other areas of expertise could I go and apply my skill set to go and drive a business in a new area? No. Because we like to work with humans. Yes, technology has its place and it is there to make us more productive than ever, but it's not to replace what we do. It's there to augment what we do. So whilst Ember and others are driving into the profession with a different route, and maybe there is a subset of clients that this might appeal to, I think that the majority of clients will look at it and go, that's not for me.
So what is the play of people like Xero and Intuit and Ember and others that are trying to marginalize the accountant and take them off that pedestal of being the hero of the business client story? What are they trying to achieve?
It kind of depends upon the way you look at it. These are big businesses or are brand new businesses that are growing. So for the big businesses, they're always looking at, well, which market can we go into? How can we apply our technology to somewhere else and go and get a slice of the pie?
And you're right, they own the data. They're trying to get to the client directly, aren't they?
Exactly. The thing that they all forget is that the accountant is the linchpin of everything for this. They are the one that understands it. And whilst data tells them one thing, it's the knowledge and the experience that's up in the accountant's head that helps to bring all of that together. So some businesses will look at it and go, I'm right, where else can I go get a slice of the pie? We've got that data. Let's go and apply this and see if it works. And some of these may well be experiments to go and see whether there's an opportunity there. Others are looking at it purely from a technology basis. And they've gone, we've got this machine learning. We've got this AI. We've built this really exciting and sexy piece of technology. Now, where do we go and apply it? Oh, well, accountants do something similar. Let's try it there. Right. So suddenly they're looking for a market to apply something they've built rather than taking the approach of how can I go and help someone to go and do something better?
Yeah. So what's coming up, Steve, in terms of the software tech suite that accounting firms own? We know there's a myriad of platforms and apps that they use, but are they really looking for a full big box suite that does everything and one-stop shop, or they are looking at a blend of apps that integrate well with each other to serve the client? What's coming up?
The technology landscape is always changing. And it's funny, I liken this to the fashion industry. Trends keep coming back around, right?
Oh, you're still on trend anyway, Steve. You're really down with it. So,
well, you can't see, I've actually got a pair of flares on. It's coming back around. The technology is the same in the accountancy profession. It's going back 10, 15 years ago, and it used to be best of breed. I want the best tax software. I want the best final account software. It doesn't matter that the data is not integrated. I just want the output to be the best it can possibly be.
Right.
Then rewind maybe 5-10 years ago, and suddenly people went, that's great, but I'm wasting a load of time. I want the best of suite. I want one that gives me a really good solution, but the data is integrated, so it frees my time up. What we're seeing now is, rather than best of breed and best of suite, we're seeing people going, I want the best of integration. I want my slice of cake, and I want to eat everything around it as well. I want the best solution, and I want that integration. So we're starting to see people trying to pluck these systems together. Now, certainly at Iris, we've been the leader in kind of the integrated suite for a long time. In fact, we work with more accountants in the UK and probably globally than most others. And what we've realized is that you've got to be able to do both. People will want that integrated suite. They will want a big box solution. But at the same time, they want to be able to plug things into it, to try new things, and to work with what their clients are working with as well. So it's one of the reasons why we built our Elements Adaptive platform. It's all based in the cloud, all API based, so that we can take all of the rich 43 years of heritage that we've got with our solutions in an integrated suite and start plugging in third-party solutions and new solutions we bring out to enable people to have that choice. And I think that's where we're going, is that we'll get to a point of choice where someone who wants a big box solution can still have that and have it in the cloud. And at the same time, they've got the flexibility to go, I really like this aspect of it, but that one looks really better. So I'm going to plug that in and try it out as well. So we will be giving them the ability to choose what they can go with.
Yes. And a big part of the puzzle is the adoption of the accountants themselves, because whilst we don't expect them to be geeks, they need to know more than turning the computer on and off, because they're advising digital clients on what software to use. And so they've got to be upon it themselves. I suppose a big part of your role is educating the accountants that use your software to adopt it and roll it out throughout the firm.
Exactly. And it's funny, I was talking to the ACCA in the UK, so the largest governing body for accountants here. And we were talking about this very piece, that you can go and pick up a new piece of software off the shelf or from a website instantly and go and start a subscription on it. But the implementation of that and understanding how it works is incredibly important. And whilst we all like shiny new toys and we'll go and play with them in our own free time, making that work in a business context is really important, because otherwise it's just wasted money. So what we find is, whilst we can go and do that, we want to make sure that people understand the solutions that they're using, how that works for them, and ultimately is implemented right, because no two accountants work exactly the same. And it's really important that everybody understands that, so that then it's not a cookie cutter approach, and that actually everybody gets the most and best solution that they can on what they're investing in. Mm.
Steve, there's been a lot of consolidation in the accounting world, with firms buying firms, acquisitions selling and buying. We're seeing that with the vendors as well, with certain acquisitions, with strange multiples and strange valuations, and even strange motives for doing it. But outside of that, are we seeing software vendors playing together more nicely now, rather than seeing them as competitors? What are your thoughts there?
I completely agree. It's a nicer, more friendly world is the way I would describe it.
Okay. It's been cutthroat, isn't it? You've been in this game a long time.
Yeah. And if you go back probably 10 years ago, we've been in rooms before where you've got the competitors sitting around the table and everyone's frightened to say anything because you don't want to give away trade secrets or anything like that. And the same can be said about the accountancy profession. I mean, we've held seminars before and workshops with accountants who 10 years ago wouldn't say boo to a goose within a room, because actually they were too frightened about the fact that they might be giving away secrets as to how they're succeeding and growing. Whereas now, on both sides of that coin, vendors and accountants, we're all sharing. We're all working closer together. In fact, Iris are integrating with more third parties than we ever have before. And some traditional vendors that you'd think were competitors, in the likes of Sage, Xero, Free Agent, we're working with them and ultimately consuming each other's APIs for the benefit of accountants. And the same is with accountants as well. They're working with others. And one of the things that has been really quite interesting is, over the last 18 months, is these new peer groups and mentoring groups that are forming from accountants, where they're actually out there to try and help others succeed. They want to share their secrets. They don't want people to be going under. They want to help that. And we're working on that area from an Iris perspective as well. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll have some really exciting news around how we're trying to help foster that peer-to-peer networking.
Wow. Steve, how do firms plan and prepare for future change? Accountants have shown a certain agility that surprised many. Given what's happened in COVID, they pivoted fairly quickly. And you've probably heard stories like I have about decisions that would normally take 1 or 2 years to make have been implemented in a matter of weeks and months. largely out of necessity, but you've talked about increased client demands, increased complexity, and exponential growth in technology. So how do firms plan and prepare for future change?
It's one that probably firms don't do enough of, which is the creating time to have that thinking time as to what we go and do. Certainly right now, leading into December and into January, busy tax return season. So suddenly people are going to be more focused on the job at hand rather than what do they do next. But coronavirus has taught us that you can't really predict what's coming around the corner. What you need to be able to do is, to your words, be more agile. So what firms are doing and where we're seeing a lot of successes, they're maybe putting in shorter term plans with contingencies around it. So suddenly they're planning for their busy season and maybe the next 6 months and then going, there's a direction of travel we want to go in. And this ultimately we want to get to this vision, but actually the path that's laid out in front of us is still open for debate. So what they're starting to do is free up more time, automating more, enabling their workforce to work remotely so that people can free up more time for this. That way, they're all starting to come together, starting within a firm, not just the partners, but all members of staff to start to build out their strategy. One of the really interesting ones that we've seen and where firms are growing even more is where they're bringing their clients into that discussion as well and saying, we've got some ideas around a new service. Would this be the sort of thing that you would take from us and that you ultimately you would trust us with? And suddenly those firms that are including their clients in that debate are starting to grow more because ultimately an accountant can be an expert in most things, but not everything. And if their clients are an expert in a particular area that they're trying to help them with, why would you not test it with them? It's a similar approach to what we've started to do with our software development. It actually customer-led design starts with the customer. It doesn't start with us building something and then testing it. It actually goes all the way back to the beginning and say, talk to us, let's work together on building out what will help you the most.
Yeah. You're always open to talking to accountants, Steve. We have thousands of listeners to the show now all over the world. And thank you to Iris for being one of our commercial partners. If people want to have a chat to you, Steve, talk more about the exciting things you work in and what's a good way for them to reach you?
Best way to contact me is mainly via LinkedIn. I'm Stephen Christopher Cox on LinkedIn. You can find me really easily. Happy to have a discussion with anybody, either around kind of the future of work for where things are going in the accounting profession in the UK or internationally, or also where Iris are going and how we're helping to support accountants.
And what excites you most about where Iris are going over the next few years? Because you've done already, 19, 20 years with Iris, and you might well be there for another 10 or 20 years.
I think that the one thing that kind of keeps me going, certainly within Iris and within the accountancy profession, is very much this concept of change. We're on the preface of this kind of this digital wave. They're seeing a new breed of accountant being born, but it's not just the new ones that are coming, but also the traditional and existing accountants who are transforming. And it's this ever-evolving piece. And it's really exciting to see that transformation. And for someone that's been with Iris as long as I have, it is great to see firms who, when I joined, I was helping them with support on some of our solutions. I still speak to them today. And the firm that they were 20-odd years ago is completely different to where they are today. And thinking of that journey, they'll continue to evolve. And being able to be a part of their transformation is quite a humbling feeling.
Steve, this has been great today. Let's wrap this up and ask you for your few final takeaways. What words of advice, encouragement, support, or call to arms would you say to the many accountants listening and maybe even watching as they navigate the complexities of what is a crazy world right now, serving ever more demanding clients, dealing with the onslaught of technology and software? What would you say to them in closing?
So the first thing I would say is you're not alone. In everything that's going on right now, you are not the only one that's having this, and take some solace in that, because it doesn't mean that if things are bad for you, it doesn't mean that they're great for others. Actually, we're all going through this and we're all in it together. And that means reach out, speak to your peers, get some advice from others, speak to your vendors, speak to anyone you can who can help to consolidate your thinking. Make some time to think about where you go next, how you go and do this. One of the real important things that we've got to all appreciate is don't put off to tomorrow something you can do today. We've learned that through digital adoption. Don't plan it for years in advance. Take advantage of it now because you never know what's coming around the corner. If there is another pandemic, another lockdown, you want to make sure that you're on the right foot going forwards for this. So don't plan too far in advance, but try and be agile in how you do that and start doing things today.
And just to add to that, that's a great wrap up. we're in a global world now, aren't we? So the game is changing. Yeah. The playing field is bigger, wider, deeper, and we need to have that international perspective to compete.
It's hugely so. Suddenly the trading barriers are knocking down. People are doing everything digitally, which suddenly means geographical regions don't make a difference. There will be not just a new breed of digital competition in different industries, but also a new breed internationally, which will start to transform the game. And so it becomes even more important to kind of solidify what you're doing, but also to make sure that you can be agile to transform to that, to react to what's going. And those that are looking at what they do really well and speaking with their clients to get insights as to what's happening will be the ones who will be sitting here going, right, I can already see a trend happening. This is where I can go and take advantage of it. Seize that opportunity and start looking. If you're going to try it, fail fast and then pick yourself up and try again. No one ever gets something right first time.
Yeah, love it. Steve Cox of Irish Global Software. That's been fascinating. Thank you so much for your passion and your insights today.
No problem. Great to speak, Rob.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.